excellent, extremely talented musician, keyboardist, who's done a lot of work, who I met when he was working with the Nuclears. He's done a lot of work with them. We've been talking about, you know, well, I mean, he got here a few minutes early, so we were talking about a few other projects that he's working on lately, which I'll get into. But basically, I know Sean Spada. I met him through seeing him actually perform. And then I invited him as my keyboardist, house band, on a couple of shows I did. What shows? Hi, Sean. Say hi.
Hi. How's it going?
What shows did we do? We did that.
Well, we did the, now I forget what you called it, but it was uptown, you know, in Midtown with the theater thing where, it was the comedians. It was the game show thing, the game show.
It. Oh, that was unbelievable. I can't believe I can remember that.
Yeah.
That was great. That was called Who's the Biggest Asshole?
Right, right.
That was the first one we did together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it got renewed, and it was really funny. It was a game show where I went around asked this panel to find out who had done, like, the worst bullshit in their entire life.
Oh. I had a theme song.
And it had a great theme song. Yeah, it did, that you wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we going to sing it?
You know, I think I forget how I have a recording somewhere.
Well,
but
I can't even remember the name of the show. It was so good. No, it was a really good show because, remember, I got called back to do another one. And I was thinking also about that other show where I gave out awards for, like, just, you know, going to bed on time and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
The ego, Dr. Lisa's ego championship awards. Yeah, that was fun. And now you're really busy, so we haven't had time to work together. Mm. But
we're all
it's
busy.
All right. It's all right. It's all right. You're here now.
I am.
That's the most important thing. We've been trying to get you on the show for a while. So, let's see. So today we are going to discuss how things are going in your life. And then I'm going to ask you about girls, because I always ask you about girls, right? Don't we always talk about who you're dating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you always there's only a couple people I've dated.
Say it this way? Who you're fucking?
Oh, can we say that on the radio? That's good. Can you
this
do that?
Radio? This is about as wild... Wild West as radio gets.
Oh, fucking great.
And that's what we're proud of here at Radio Free Brooklyn. You can not even just say fuck, you can mm-hmm. say motherfucker.
Wow. The thing is, I've been reading Miles Davis's autobiography.
Oh, really?
And he uses the word motherfucker at least 3 or 4 times on every page. And I looked it up. I think the count is like, he uses the word like 1,300 times or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like everything's a motherfucker. That gig was a motherfucker. That player was a motherfucker. That situation was a motherfucker. That motherfucker was a motherfucker.
You know, it's funny because that gets to a point where it's not even good English anymore because your use of language is so repetitive. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not even about whether you're saying a bad word or not. It's more about, you have to make your sentences more... I don't know. That's, you know, I think people don't listen to you when you say the same words over and over. It's not good writing.
It's not. Well, I mean, and then there's the whole issue of, like, how, you know, people using text messages and talking on the internet in a kind of slang has infiltrated into how people talk in their normal discourse.
Right.
And all of that. But really, is that any different than it's ever been? People just like to complain about shit. I don't know.
Yeah, we're all here to let off steam.
Fuck yeah.
So, but Miles Davis isn't ever really going to be evaluated on his ability to write books, right? I mean, that's not part of what's necessary for him to be an icon.
No. I mean, it's not even bad writing in his case. I mean, the way the book reads is he's just talking, he's just relating what happened, but that's just like the way he speaks is just like...
Hey, he's had a really fucked up life, right?
His father actually was fairly well off. His father was a dentist and actually helped him out a lot, even in like the late 40s and early 50s when Miles Davis was like doing a lot of drugs. His dad helped him out and gave him money. Yeah, I mean, it was still like they were still a black family, so, you know, it's... He still had that to deal with. He has a lot of things to say about the racism that was going on at the time, but he didn't come from like a a poor family.
You know what? Yeah, so let me ask you about drugs. Do you have any? No. what I was going to say.
After the show.
What I was going to say is, why are musicians always associated with drugs? Like, why? Like, I think about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think about if I do, like, some kind of, you know, show, comedy or talking or interview show or something like that, right? You can't really be, like, wasted because, I mean, you can be a little wasted, but you can't be, like, really wasted because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what you're going to do next. But I have this theory that, like, if you're a musician, you get up there, and then you, like, if you're like the Rolling Stones, like, what the fuck? You could be, like, so wasted. It's just the same song over and over and over. Is that why? Or can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, I think the reason that musicians and creative types, or what have you, in general, are associated with drugs is because, well, I mean, people like that tend to do drugs, and I think the reason why is because when you're being creative, it's like a certain way of looking at the world, and you're like very engaged with the world, and engaged with going on with what's going on in the world. But at the same time, you're kind of putting yourself outside of society in a way, or you're like looking. You're not looking at the day to day as much. You're trying to like get at something more, for lack of a better word, like
in the moment.
In the moment, but also like transcendent, which sounds pretentious, but
yeah.
But I think that someone who does stuff like that, you also tend to fall in with doing drugs because it's kind of like I think maybe for some people it's also like the slog of day to day life. It's kind of like a drag, you know, and you're kind of like
music.
Living someplace else in your head, and so.
You mean because you think that, like, when somebody plays music, they're more removed from their body, say, than other art forms? I mean, every creative art form has, like, their drugs and alcohol and all that, but music seems particularly prone to that, and I was just...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also something of a cliche where people will pull out certain examples of, like, famous musicians who have, you know, done a lot of drugs or had drug problems. But then, like, obviously, like, not everyone is like that, so.
Yeah, and also, I guess, like, if you're a visual artist or a writer and you've got your drug problems, well, you're at home with your drug problems. Whereas, like, if you're a musician, you're pretty much in public with your drug problems because that's where you make your art. Okay, well, I don't know.
I was actually thinking about this the other day, but, like, it's one of these things where I kind of have when I think about this, but I haven't totally worked out my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
So then,
well, great. That's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Work out our thoughts. What were you going to say?
Oh no, that's it.
You've been thinking about. You mean this?
I was talking to someone else. Someone else I was talking to brought this up the other day, and then like when I went to say something, I realized, oh, I feel what I think about this, but I need to think about it more in order to like explain it in a coherent fashion, you know?
Oh, okay. So we'll have to have, well, think about it and we'll have you back on and go over it again. So we've hung out a lot, right? Sean takes care of our nasty ass bitch dog.
She's
when
fine.
We're
She's fine.
when Phil and I go out of town very often, that's another thing. We haven't gone anywhere lately, but our dog actually really likes you.
Yes, you know? We've developed a rapport.
Yeah. So when you stay at our place and we're not there, have you ever like gone through our shit? Honestly, you can tell me.
I've looked.
Have you ever put on my underwear? Anything like that? You can tell me.
Yes, but I don't take pictures, so.
Oh, well, that's okay. You just enjoy it in the moment.
Yeah.
I have really crappy old underwear pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, except for that one pair, but.
And then there's a few strappy things you like.
Mm-hmm.
How about Phil's underwear?
No, I don't touch that.
That's gross, right?
Yeah. No, I've definitely walked through your apartment and, like, looked at the stuff, but, like,
But you haven't,
I try not to
really?
Go through people's drawers, yeah.
Why? Because you've got other things to do.
Yeah.
And sit around and do that.
Well, it's almost like reading someone's diary or, like, whatever, because, like, you see, and, like, you see someone's diary, I mean, I don't know, people don't really have, like, diaries that are, like, written down books anymore, maybe. But if you see it, of course, you feel, you know, like, if you're going out with someone or whatever, or you're friends with someone, and, like, you see, like, their thing there that's, like, lying there. Of course, you always think, like, oh, like, you kind of want to open that and, like, read it, right?
Right.
But because it would give you, like, a certain insight into them.
Right.
Or what have you. But right. Also, it's kind of like a transgression, and, like, you realize, like, oh, well, you wouldn't want somebody doing that to you, so.
So you have morals? Oh, my God.
Don't we all have morals? It's just a matter of what your morals are, you know.
I'm ragging on you. I'm busting your balls, busting your chops, whatever you want to call it. Was there anything? Okay, tell me one thing, one more thing, and then we'll talk about you, because that's why you came here, at least on the surreptitiously. So, is there anything about that you found in our apartment, or occurred to you, or thought about while you were in our apartment that surprised you? You know, like a book, or like something, you know, something in our medicine cabinet. Was there anything that was like, oh, I didn't think they would have this. I didn't think, you know, Lisa or Phil would wear this. Have you thought anything occur to you?
No, nothing like surprised me. Like, it all, like, it made sense. Like, I feel like when I met you, I didn't necessarily imagine in my head what your apartment would look like.
Right.
But then when I went there the first time, I thought to myself, this is totally what her apartment is like. And everything seems to hang together pretty well. I really like your apartment.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's good. Thanks. So we're pretty predictable. That's no. Whatever.
Not predictable, but coherent.
Yeah, consistent. How's that?
Yeah, consistent. That is better. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about you, Sean. Let's just shine this light on you now. So it seems like, you know, I do genuinely, people. I mean, Sean is, like, so talented, really, really. He's a really good keyboardist. He can play anything. I mean, really. I want to hear, like, what you've been working on lately.
I'm involved in a whole bunch of things. For example, this weekend, because there's Halloween coming up, on Saturday I'm playing two different shows. So one is with one band I've been playing in, which is called, well, it's written No Ice, but it's pronounced Noise, like a mispronunciation of the word nice.
I hope they're from, like, some fucking foreign country.
No, we're from Jamie, the lead singer who writes the songs, grew up in New York, in Brooklyn, and actually we just did an album at this place, this studio, called Mama Coco's Funky Kitchen, which is actually right across from Shea Stadium, if anyone knows where that is.
Wow.
But we're doing a Bowie set, David Bowie cover. Because, you know, on Halloween, like, everyone does, cover sets. All the bands are, like, being a different band. And then after that, I'm playing with this band I play in called The Bottom Dollars, and we're playing at the Knitting Factory doing a set of My Morning Jacket songs.
Oh, wow.
And I was just down in New Orleans with The Bottom Dollars, and we played in New Orleans and Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
So that's of what I've been doing.
Well,
yeah.
You're saying that in such a, Sean, you're not bragging. You're consciously not bragging. I have to comment on everything here.
Yeah.
I have to comment on the emotional content.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I play music, so, like, this is the stuff I do. Like, I don't know.
It's cool. I've never been to New Orleans. Have you been there before?
I was there once before. On a tour, like, 2 or 3 years ago when I was on tour. And actually on that tour, I was playing with three different bands. We were all three different. It was like the Nuclears, the Bottom Dollars, and this other band I was in called Death Row Tull. And, you know, we all knew each other, and we went on this tour together. Mm. So we were down in New Orleans. New Orleans is great.
Yeah, I've heard. I know somebody, Shanali I'll never say her last name right, Bonick, Tigers and Indians, she's Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Monkeys and Tigers.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, okay. She's a really good musician. She's really great. And she got married down. She had a wedding down there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a friend. I have two friends from high school who live down there, and one of them, they live in this house that they bought, but it's It's a large house, but it's like a friend of mine was actually like, oh, like it's almost like a punk squat, which it kind of is, but like they own it and it's upkept, but it's just full of like crazy stuff. It's like if your apartment was on ecstasy. There's just like stuff everywhere. And it's really cool. And it's like there's always like a couple people live there, but then there's also like people always coming in and out. And like when we went down there was like, how many of us were there? There was like 10 of us who were like on this like little tour. And like we all like stayed there. And they had a chicken coop in the front.
Wow, that sounds cool. That's another thing about musicians. If you have an intimacy problem, the kind that I do, you can't be in a band because that means you have to be around other people all the time.
Well, is being around people really the same as intimacy?
I said that particular type of intimacy problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so many levels, but that's one like where you have to actually be in the presence of another human.
Right.
Where you have no control over it. Like, that makes me crazy.
Well, it's funny, like, any time that you're, and not just in bands, but, like, any time that, like, you're...
Well, you've lived with other people, right? You live with the Nuclears.
Yeah. But, like, any time that you're in, like, a small group of people, it's like, and you're all friends, but if you're around the same people for, like, days and days, it's funny because, like, you always see, eventually there's a point where, like, no one's, like, really talking, but no one's angry. It's just, like, you get tired of, like, the same stuff and everyone kind of, like...
Wow, you stop making an effort. Wow. Although sometimes I think it would be cool to be like in a band, or I guess it's a balance that everybody tries to have.
Yeah.
So you were living with the Nuclears, mm-hmm. and that's crazy to live with a band. What year is it?
See, people always say this, but like, I don't know, like people
that's
do
the 1970s.
Time, right? Is it? I guess.
Did you guys ever all do acid together?
With them, no. I mean, I've like done that with other people, you know.
Like in a band?
Yeah.
What's that like?
I mean, it's like, you know, doing acid. I mean, like you...
Doing kinda, acid like, all go at off. A show? It's,
no, I mean, I think I've definitely played shows when I was on stuff like that when I was younger. Now I try to avoid doing shows like when I'm on anything like that.
12 or 13.
That extreme.
Yeah.
12 adults, just now. You know, that
what were you like as a teenager? Were you like you? I picture you being like really like a pain in the ass, rebellious, like the quiet.
No,
what,
not at all.
I think you were like. I think that you were like kind of. Your parents probably thought you were okay, but you were doing all sorts of really like bad things.
No, I think when I was a teenager or whatever, I was. I mean, for a while, I was kind of like pudgy and stuff. I think when I was in high school. I was in a band with some guys, but I wasn't like really like getting in trouble or anything. And actually, the last 2 years I was in high school, like every Saturday I was taking music classes at they have this like pre-college program for like high school students and stuff at Juilliard. So I was coming in and doing that. And I mean, I was definitely like, you know, drinking and doing drugs or whatever when I was in high school, but I wasn't like getting in trouble and stuff all the time.
Huh.
Yeah, I got into the heavy stuff once I got to college. You know, that's what that time is for, right?
Right, like, right. So you were pretty diligent, which is why you're such a accomplished musician today.
I suppose. I don't know.
So how are you feeling about how you audition or you're going to audition for a cruise ship?
Well, that's one thing. Well, I'm trying to figure out what to do next. So like, I don't know, but I do have this. I found a thing, so I'm going to audition to, like, possibly, like, go on a cruise ship. And
don't you think, like, I mean, it sounds like a great gig, and I really hope you get it, because I think it'll be great, but don't you think it's going to be, like, totally weird to be on a cruise?
Well, the thing is, I've been on a lot of cruises, because when I was a kid, my mom and my grandmother were, like, super into cruises. Like, this is their shit. So, when I was a kid, like, I went on a bunch of cruises, and they're, it's cool. Although there's very, like, I don't know, you know David Foster Wallace, he's got that great essay about it, supposedly fun thing that I'll never do again. And it's funny because, like, when I was a kid going on cruises, I was always like, it's cool to be on a boat and you're on the ocean, right? Which is awesome. But it's also, like, a little, as you get older, you're like, this is, like, so suburban and boring and, like, middle class. Because you're not meeting anybody. Like, you know, everyone who's on the cruise is, like, either, like, you know, a retiree for the most part or, like, newlyweds. So you're kind of, like... You know, if you're like 13 or 14, it's kind of just like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Right.
But he, in that essay, it's like all the stuff that I thought when I was a kid, only he went on the cruise as an adult. So he like, I'm like, oh, like oh, that's all the stuff that I thought, but like never like really like sat down and like put together. But
well,
he's like,
cruises always feel to me like it's not for adventurous people. I don't know. Maybe if I went on a cruise, I wouldn't think that.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess you have to be a little bit adventurous just to get on the goddamn boat.
Yeah.
I'm also really paranoid about throwing up.
Yeah, I mean, see, I never had a problem. I mean, first of all, like, it's not like you're on, like, a Navy ship or, like, or like a fishing, like, a little fishing boat. Like, uh-huh. those things are stabilized pretty well. So
like
you still feel like the
but you know
boat
when
moving,
people
but,
get those viruses on the boats like that I've had literally nightmares about being on like a cruise ship where everybody gets like that disease and they're
Legionnaire's disease
throwing or, up all over. That's happened several times.
I mean, but you've got like a group of people that are in a closed location, so that's going to happen every once in a while. There was that guy in was the captain in Italy who like ran the boat aground. Do you remember this? This was like a couple years ago.
Yeah,
like that's like
well, you can always throw up over. I guess if you're in the water, you just don't throw up over.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be in the. Boat.
Yeah. Once I was on a cruise, like standing next to my mom, and she was like looking down over the railing, like at the water in the Caribbean, and like her glasses fell off, and it was like,
oh,
and
no.
She was like, so for the rest of the cruise, she had to wear her like prescription sunglasses that she had, you know. And now every time I'm in a situation where I'm like on like, you know, like you go off on like you know, Bushwick, I can go on the roofs in the building or whatever. I'm on a roof and I'm like looking down at the ground. I'm always just like, oh my glasses.
She traumatized that scarred you.
I don't know if it scarred me, but it's put the thought in my head constantly. It's like, what if I lose?
Well, that's a scar, isn't it?
Is it?
So that sounds like are you happy about how the music thing is progressing? It feels like it's progressing, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been doing a lot of different things, which is good, playing with a lot of different people. I've been playing.
And you're feeling good about
who
that.
Who else? Because I want to give. And I've been playing with this guy, Strange Magic. Uh-huh. We play at this bar, Bel Rev, in Manhattan, in Tribeca. It's kind of like a blues thing.
Yeah. You've been doing that for a while, too, right?
Yeah, it's on Tuesday nights. I don't always do it, but he always, like that's his gig, so like I
that's
sit in like half the time.
Nights. I'm in Manhattan. What time does it start?
It starts at like 10:30, so I don't know.
My group is over at like 8:30. They never stay out late.
Yeah, this is like a 10:30 to 1:30 gig. So.
Well, you know me. I go to bed really early. Mm. That's why I never have any fun, because I'm in bed by like...
You have a different kind of fun.
What, like an early night
fun? Early fun.
Kind of fun. The kind of fun that you have like breakfast. Like
right.
The way breakfast is fun and late nights as opposed to late night snacks.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the girls, cuz that's always fun. so who are you sleeping with, Sean?
I mean, I don't know. Like, well, I'm not really like, sleeping with anyone right now.
So we had talked about this a while ago that we were going to talk about, cuz see the thing is like You've actually had interactions with people that you've met like on the internet. So you were gonna explain all that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So how have you been meeting the ladies recently? Which technique do you use? which application?
Well, let me see how I can what I want to say about this. Well, you know what it was is like maybe like a year ago. Yeah, because was it like October? Like maybe like a year ago, like a friend of mine was like, oh, like, Sean, like, you should really just, like, go, like, the computer dating thing and, like, do that. Like, what do you have to lose? And I was always like, oh, like, that's so stupid. Because, like, most people, you know, people that I've dated or, like, you know, gone out with and what have you, like you meet in life in real person, you know, and that always works.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd always thought, oh, like, that's stupid, like, going on the internet. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
I just want people to know, like, you did have a girlfriend for a while
that I
met, and how did you meet her?
You know, mutual friends, you know.
In life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In life. Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, like, and that's how, like, I've met, like,
most of the girlfriends.
Or all girlfriends that I've had. You know, just people that you meet and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, like, the internet dating thing was just, like, I just, like, thought it was weird because, you know, if you're, like, you're going out and, like, you're doing your thing and you're living your life and you meet someone, it's like, oh, okay, like, clearly I have something in common with this person. You can get to know them. You know, at first, like, socially or what have you, and the whole internet dating thing just, like, seemed weird to me. But then a friend of mine was saying, like, oh, no, you should really try this, like, blah, 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 like, what do you have to lose? And eventually I just thought, you know, I mean, first of all, I thought, like, fuck it. Then also I thought, you know, here's a thing that I've never done before, so I'm kind of curious, like, what it's like.
Right.
Although that makes me feel, like, a little queasy, because then it also sounds like I'm just, like, running, like, a social experiment, but, you know, whatever, but... and I also thought, like, but also it's like, you know, so many people I know would be like, and also when I went out on dates with girls from the computer, they'd, you know, so it's like, what are you going to talk about? So be like, oh, like, how long have you been, like, on the computer dating thing? And they're all, and some of these people would be like, oh, yeah, like, I've been on this, like, for, like, the last 10 years. And I was like, whoa, like, that's weird. But it's, I also thought, well, this is a thing that people our age, like, are doing, or, like, my age are doing. And I thought it'd be good just to, like, experience it and, like, see what it was like. Because I was curious. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So yeah, you sound a little uncomfortable about talking about it. Do you feel like, as a therapist, so do you feel like, do you feel like a little bit like you're judging yourself, or that's the sense I'm getting? And I don't want you to. That's why I'm saying, oh, that's fine. Or does everyone just feel like that a little bit, maybe?
Well, probably everyone does, but I guess. I went on the thing, and, like, I went, so there was about,
like. We're looking for good radio here, so right. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. there was about, like, 3 or 4 months where I, like, was actually, like, actively doing that and, like, went out with a bunch of people, you know, like, slept with a bunch of people and, like, whatever. And I kind of did it just to.
Sleep with them.
Yes, obviously, which is fine. But then also just to, like, see what it was like, because I've never really been the kind of person that was, like.
Doing that.
And going out and, like you know, sleeping. Actively sleeping around with, like, different people. Like, I've always been, like, a, you know.
Right.
Find people I like, and, like, that's great.
Yeah. But it's so, really, it must be, I mean, the expectations when you meet somebody through, is it a Tinder thing?
No, I was just using OkCupid.
How about Tinder?
No, I won't do that.
No?
Yeah, I find that weird. Because, like, there's nothing wrong if, like, other people want to do that. And, like, there's nothing wrong with people just being like, oh, like, I just, like, want to get laid, but
it's not for you.
It's I find something odd about that, and it's
Let's talk about think of one example that would be a good one to talk about, that kind where you met somebody and you slept with them. Can you think of what? No names.
No,
you probably
no.
Don't even know her name.
I mean, I knew their names at the time.
This is a test. Well, we don't want to know their names.
No, of course not. Of course. Well, I mean, like one person, like, I went out with them, and it was fine. And it's a weird thing. So you're going in, and, like, you kind of know what a person looks like, right? Because they have pictures on the computer and whatnot.
Right.
But then also it's like, so then you meet them, and, of course, nobody looks like a picture, because every picture is just, like, a moment in time, right? So everybody, any picture of, like, you is you, but at the same time, it's not, you know, knowing you in person is, like, different.
Right.
Which is one thing. So, like, as soon as you meet someone, you're immediately, like, being like, oh, like, how much they, like, look like their picture. And I'm not even talking about, like, whether they're like, hot or not. It's just, like,
it's like
anyone
it's,
like that.
It's like when you see a famous person.
Exactly. You know, so if you see, like, a picture of Brad Pitt, or, like, you know, or the president, whomever, and then you see them in real life, they're going to be different. Because then you're, and it's not just, like, their face or how they look. It's also you're getting all this additional information, like how they're carrying themselves, how they present themselves, how they talk, their speech patterns, and all this shit.
Right.
So you're kind of, like, it's weird because you're trying to, like, you know, one always wants to come off well usually to other people, but then you're doing that, but you're also kind of, like, evaluating them. And it's all weird. And then you're also trying to figure out, like, so, like, what's going on here, you know, like, cause, like, some people, you know, there's a couple of people I went on with dates where, like, you know, you just kind of immediately, like, okay, like, I don't want to sleep with this person, but, like, I'm still gonna, like, hang out here and, like, talk to them for an hour and a half because it's just interesting to meet other people, you know, it's interesting to meet strangers, or people that you might not meet,
right?
You know, because, like, whatever. You know, if I'm doing music all the time, you meet, like, a certain group of people, which is, like, large. But then there's all these other people out in the world that, like, you're not good, that you only would meet this way. But anyway, like, yeah, like, I went out with this one girl, and then it was, like, really, like, cold outside, and we ended up going, like, seeing someone I know play, and then we ended up, like, going back to my apartment and, like, sleeping together or whatever. But and I was like, fine. But then, like, this individual got, like, really clingy, like, really fast. It was strange. And, like, what do I mean by clingy? It was like I only went out with her twice or three times.
Oh, okay.
But it was like she immediately, like, wanted to, like, hold my hand as we were walking down the street. Ooh. And, like, and the thing was, if I was, like, totally into her, that would have been fine. But, like, I was kind of like, I don't know, and, like, she was kind of, like, overdoing it. But then
pressuring you. Didn't you feel pressure?
I did feel pressure.
Yeah,
and also because
that's
like
never
I
good.
It was not good. And it was also like I'd already been thinking to myself, like, oh, like this was cool, but like I don't think like this isn't for me, right?
Right.
See, the thing is, I hate saying that because it makes it sound like I'm like putting the other person down, which I'm not though. But like, see, and I know, but like
see,
that's how it comes
thing,
off.
Sean,
and I know that it's I know what I'm saying is fine, but I still feel like, oh, like I don't want to come off like I'm like, you know, knocking anyone because like I'm sure people that went out with me were like, oh, that guy like did this weird thing or whatever. I'm sure somebody says that to me
but no one's saying
is this a non-judgmental space?
No, but you're the one who's judging you. I don't think anyone's
yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing that I think is really tricky. And mm-hmm. I just have to say, by the way, that this is Radio Free Brooklyn, and it's the greatest radio station in the entire Western Hemisphere. And I just want everyone to know that they're listening to it. And it's a really great station. And I'm Dr. Lisa, and this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit with musician Sean Spada coming to a cruise ship near you. So, here's the weird thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is what society says, and this is where we all have to work it out, fit in. Society says that all men, and I don't think this is, I know I'm an old lady, but this has not changed. This is sadly not changed enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all women, all men want to get laid, and all women want a boyfriend.
Right.
And even though, like, there is something to that, but a lot of people assume that. So a lot of times men, I think, feel a lot more self-conscious when they say reject, if you call it reject, they reject a woman.
Well, it's also a thing, though, where, like another societal stereotype, or even maybe it's true, is that like, you know, women are more concerned with their appearance because that's how women are evaluated in our society,
right.
Whereas men don't have to worry about that quite as much. Da 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 da. So when you start saying like, oh, like I wasn't into this person, then it's like, oh, like if you're, it's a whole thing.
So then you're assumed that you're superficial because she wasn't pretty enough.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, yeah, it's like, are you being superficial? But it's also like, it was also like her personality. Oh, I'll tell you what it is. Let me get to this.
Okay.
Is that I was talking to her, and you know, and she's telling me about how, you know, she's been seeing like her psychiatrist or what have you for like mm-hmm. you know many years,
and I my patients
for many years, and she's like she's going through all like her various problems, and she's like telling me all this stuff, and then she's telling me that she's taking hormones because like she's donating eggs to her. Sister who like has like a problem or whatever and all this stuff, and then so then like when she the way that she this person acted, so then I'm thinking like, oh, like maybe it's because you're on these hormones, but then like that I also like, which is like a real thing, right? Because if you're taking hormones, like any hormone that you take is going to affect your personality,
acting like
but then I'm like, oh, like
needy
and all this stuff,
just,
but then I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like that's like so like fucking horrible because you're saying like, oh, you're a girl, and you're like on these hormones, and you're being so girly. You know, it's just like kind of like offensive
crazy.
In a way.
You're being a crazy,
right? There's
crazy
a way in which,
bitch.
Right?
Not bitch,
but like crazy. But then you don't want to say, and I, you know, and like crazy is a word where it's like, is one of these overused words
with
women and in society in general, where it's like. You know, because you could colloquially say, like, whoa, like, look at what just happened. That's crazy. Or, you know, it'd be like, man, that chick was crazy. But, like, you're not.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, you have white guy pressure, I think.
Oh, God.
No, because you know what I mean? Like, this is how I'm hearing what you say. What you say is a lot of. I mean, I think I love that you're sensitive and want to do the right thing. I love
mm-hmm.
that. But I also am hearing that you're feeling guilty for just your normal feelings or not, you know, or you know, I don't know, guilt is a word, but, you know, that you have to explain them or comment, whatever.
Well,
you know
it's,
I mean.
I think it's also that, like I said, I mean, I've always been the kind of person that, like, you know, like, I mean, sure, like, there's people that, like, I've slept with, whatever, but, like, mm-hmm. what I... I'm usually drawn towards, like, oh, like, being in a relationship with someone, right? And, like, I don't really have felt the need to, like, always be going out and, like, sleeping with a bunch of different people. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, at this time, because of various things that happened, I thought, hey, like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let's try doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, why not? And I think it was this thing where I was, like, on the one hand being like, oh, like, this is good because I'm trying this thing. But I'm also like, but, you know, I've been me for years and I know myself. And, like, I know that, like, it was almost like, not like I was betraying myself, but like it was kind of like every time I'd meet someone, I'd be like, man, like I know what's going to happen here, which is that like I can like totally sleep with this person and I'm going to, but like I kind of like don't care. And I'm like, so then I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't know. It's a whole.
So you don't, you thing. Don't feel good, I think. You feel good at the time, but you don't feel like it's who you want to be, maybe.
Right.
But here's the thing. So. Mm-hmm. You go out on a date with these women, and they know you're going to sleep with them, and you know you both.
Well, you know when you're with someone, eventually, like you don't say anything, but you reach the point where like you know everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah, right. Well, because you met on a website called OkCupid that has there's a hint right there.
Right.
So anyway. But are you're talking about sleeping with somebody you'd like on the first date, right? Are you?
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't want to. I just want to be clear. Like it's not like you've already taken. Like if you went out on like three dates with four dates and then you slept with them, that would be a whole other. Yeah. So.
Right.
So, but then like when I'm curious about what I think a lot of women, and I'll probably if anyone is actually listening to this, I'm sure there'll be. I would say I'd get hate mail, but that means I'd have to get mail to begin with. But I think that women struggle with the concept, and young women today still struggle with the concept that women are generally, I believe, built to feel an emotional, I don't know what the word is, commitment, attraction, desire, for the person in heterosexual relationships, the person they have sex with, whether they think they are into them or not, after they have sex, I think they do kind of chemically want to have more of a relationship, are more likely to want to see them again.
Right. I mean, that's what I've read. I'm not a woman, so I can't say. But like, I think my understanding is like, that's a thing. You know, it's.
I think that's very true because I'll tell you. I think I've told you this. Like, I mean, you know, when I was young, no, I mean, I've been in that scenario a few times where I was just like, here's like a nice, harmless guy, and I haven't had sex in a while, and you know, I'm not gonna get into him, and it'll just be like, well, I'll have sex and everybody go home,
right?
And then I'll be like. How come he didn't ask for my phone number?
Right.
Whereas, like, beforehand, I was like, I'm never going to see him again.
I mean, I think that's also just a thing with, like, that's a human thing in general. It's like, even if you don't, you know, even if you don't care about what, like, somebody thinks about you, or, like, even if you, like, say you meet someone professionally.
Uh-huh.
In whatever capacity. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, and then, like, they never, like, get back to you about something. And even if you're like, well, I don't even, like, want to work with that person, I kind of, like, don't like their slant on, like, whatever our professional shit is, but you're still kind of like, but I'm cool. So, like, they should be, what the fuck?
Right.
You know, even if you don't care what they think.
So do you think what I'm saying is, like, I wonder, and you know more young women in this manner than I do, so I'm just saying, like, do you think that women are not honest, or do you think women are more vulnerable, in your experience, do you think women are more vulnerable to actually, like, get digging the guy that they fuck after they're done fucking them than men are with women?
No, I mean, I think, oh, geez, I mean, I don't know. I think, I mean, I hate making generalizations, first
of all. That's what I deal with.
No, I mean, I think that everybody. I think that when people discuss this, you know, when there's articles written about this or people are talking about it,
like we are.
I think that people like to make everything like more narrow than it is. So like anything that you do, you're going to have a range of thoughts and emotions about.
It's true.
And especially when you're coming to something like love and sex and like all that crap, because
right.
you know, and so then if you go to talk about it,
right.
you know, first of all, like, even now I find when I'm talking about this, like, you're kind of, and I'm trying to be unfiltered, but you're still, like, thinking about how what's about to come out of your mouth is going to make you seem, and you're kind of, like, both trying to play against and, like, into whatever, like, the cultural expectations are.
Whoa.
You know.
Wow, that's very intellectual.
I mean, I think that I'm like that anyway. I mean, I think that it's into, like, I'm always thinking, like, oh, like, God, like, I just said this. Like, how does that come across? I mean, that's just, like, how I tend to think, or, like, my personality,
so,
or what have you.
So, but. There's a little, you've got a really strong super ego. That's what they call
it. Oh, is that what that is?
That is what it is.
I thought ego was when, like.
Super ego.
The super ego. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what does the super ego do?
It's the monitor. It's the editor. The police.
Huh.
The ego police.
Does it wear a cape?
In your case, probably.
Uh-huh.
especially on Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so we could get into that. I don't know if that's interesting.
Yeah.
Where all that judging comes from. Mom, dad. Did you, what were your parents like as far as, like, your attitude towards treating girls? Well, you have a sister?
I have two sisters.
Two sisters. So did that influence your attitude about
girls? I mean, it must, because when I was growing up, like, it was like, I mean, my mom is a woman, obviously. And then, like, yeah, I have two sisters. And also, like, my grandmother lived with us at the time. So so I'm sure that must have influenced something.
So
I will say this, though. Most, not all, but most of my, like, closer friends are, like, tend to be girls.
Hmm.
I usually feel more comfortable being around
the females.
Yeah, or, like, I can be, yeah.
Yeah, because then you don't have to do all that bullshit dude stuff.
Yeah, and it's a thing, and, like, if you're ever, like, talking to, like, well, see, you're not a dude, so you can't know, but, but, like, the way that dudes talk, there is, like, a way that guys talk that, like, is, like, kind of, like, dumb and that I find stupid. But then it's almost like this, like, ingrained cultural thing where it's hard to
get
out of that. And if all of a sudden I feel like that there's guys I know where even if we're, like, friends or, like, have known each other for a while, if I was to all of a sudden speak or, like, talk about stuff in as frank or, like, in a way that I do with, like, friends of mine who are girls, they would kind of, like, they'd hear me and it's not – that anything I would say would shock them, but, like, they wouldn't know, like, how to respond because that's not how they respond usually to other men. But then what I think to myself is I wonder if other, like, friends of mine who are guys who that's how I perceive them, if they have friends, like, they probably have friends who they talk to who are girls, so, like, they're, like, more, like, you know, I mean, when I talk to friends of mine who are girls, like, I tend to, like, be, like, talk more about, like, my emotions, like, all that shit. As
right.
opposed, yeah, it's more.
Like girls do.
Yeah.
So, what about your dad? How do you relate to him?
Well, I mean, my dad's, like, a really sarcastic guy and very, like, emotionally closed off, I'd say. So
are you, like, closer to your mom? Is that basically it? Are you, like, you're just like a mama's boy, is what we're saying, isn't it?
I don't know who I'm close to in my family. I mean, like, I'm close to them, but, like, not.
No, but I mean, would you have, like, if you get on the phone with your parents, are you going
to
have
I don't talk to them on the phone. We don't, like, very rarely if I call my parents, it's like.
Are you in touch with them?
Well, yeah, I mean,
You're there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see them all the time. I'm just like, I don't have the relationship with either of them where, like,
you would have
I haven't seen you in a week, so I'm going to get on the phone and, like, talk to you about what's going on in my life, you know, for an hour. It's more just like, like, this happened, that happened,
so,
blah, blah, blah.
So with the girls that you had, you know, whatever, semi-anonymous sex with, so how did you feel after most of those, and how did they feel, do you think? Like, did you wind up feeling responsible for them, or pressured by them?
The one person I was talking about, there was an element of that. And then it was the kind of thing where I'm like, all right, like, I really don't want to, like, see this person again. Like, it's just, like, because it's not, you know, but then I'm like, oh, like, how do I, like, end this? And then, like, I think what happened was, like, she texted me something and I was like, oh, man, like, I don't even know, like, how to, like, deal with this right now. So I, like, put it off, which is, like, a bad habit of mine. And then, like, but like, thinking, like, oh, man, like, she texted me this thing, but, like, I've got all this stuff to do right now. Like, I'll text her tomorrow when, like, you know, I've had, like, a night's sleep and, like, my head is clear and I can think of, like, something polite to say because I don't even, like, how to handle this. And then, like, when I didn't get back to her for, like, two or three hours. She's like, oh, well, you know, in a text, was like, well, I see what's going on. And I was like, Jesus, like we just met like 2 weeks ago. Like,
wow.
It's not, you know, I don't know, man.
So do you?
But I felt really bad. I was like, I don't know, like, because I
don't. So after you sleep with them, do you expect, like, you may think, oh, I'm not going to see this person again, or I don't know. You're not thinking about it. Do you think they are? Or has the experience been that mostly they are, but you're not?
I mean, I think some of column A and some of column B. But it just made me realize that, like, because I had always thought, like, oh, like, you know, I'm a certain way. Like, I like to, like, when I meet someone I like, I usually, like, know it pretty soon, and, like, that's that. And then I thought, like, well, maybe I should try doing stuff this other way. But, like, I was like, no, like, my intuition about myself was correct. Like, I think I've learned that, like, when I find someone attractive, you know, like, not just physically, but, like, you know, there's a certain type of person that I really like being around, and it's all about, like, you know, how they're
right,
what they're about, their whole thing. You know, I think I've just been like, oh, like, no, like, I was right. Like, I know, you know.
Yeah. So that was good that you tried it. So you're not doing that anymore?
No, well, I mean, my profile is still there. Like, you know, sometimes people
Ladies,
send me messages. Yeah, and like,
profile
like,
is still there.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind not hearing back from him, you should totally go for it.
Yeah.
So
also, like, another thing was, like, I just, like, got a blast out of, like, going through and just, like, reading people's profiles, because you really get an insight into, like, how different people want to put themselves over. Because, like, some people will say, like, oh, like, I'm a school teacher, and I grew up here, and I went to school here. I really like to do this hobby, that hobby, and the other hobby. You know, it's like, you know, what you like. Oh, on Saturday nights, I like to do. And it's like, they're very much just like, hey, like, here's a little thing that's all about me. And other people are, like, more elliptical and, like, weird. And, like, some people like, and then there's a whole thing, like, a lot of people will have profiles where they're kind of, like, my profile is, like, kind of, like, making fun of, like, the whole thing where it's, like, a bunch of questions and you're supposed to answer and all this shit. So it just, and then there's some people that have, like, these essayish diatribes about, like, okay, so, like, I know that I'm going to get a million messages because of, like, this one really hot photo where you can almost see my tits. And then, but, da-da-da-da-da, and a whole thing about, like, psychic connections and, like, the meaning of life.
God.
And, like, it goes on and on and on. It's, like, paragraphs and paragraphs. I'm just like, so if you're this, then, like, don't message me. But, like, da-da-da-da-da.
So you think people, like,
phenomenal.
Have a lot of pressure, have a lot of expectations of meeting the right person. I mean, I think
well, I mean, the whole idea of the right person, I mean, like, whatever that means. I mean, like,
but they have, like, I mean,
this is all a construct from, like, movies and stuff. You know,
exactly.
You know, and this is not what life is like. I mean, this is something that I've realized lately, is that, like, you have to, not that I'm that good at this, but you have to be, like, you know, there's no end game, you know, until you kick the bucket.
Yeah, right.
But, like, otherwise, like, you have to, like, you know, evolve as a person, and, like, there's no, I mean, anyone who's a thinking person, like, realizes that, but there's, like, no one right person for you. And
that thing can change. And, like, it's also, like, you're going to be on your journey, however that goes.
We're all on our journey.
We're on our journeys. I don't know. What fucking, I got the wrong roadmap, I think. So you're not doing that anymore. Is that what you're saying? Oh, you're not active. But, so are you seeing anybody now? Let's hear
no,
about
not
it.
Officially. I mean, no. No?
No.
No.
Is it some woman going to listen to this and then, like, be on your case later? I can totally imagine it.
No,
but
not
Sean,
really.
Sean, why didn't you were, I thought we were dating. I thought we were seeing each other. That's not going to happen.
No.
Why? Because you're not going to tell them? Or you're going to, like, ruin every radio possibility?
No, if I was seeing someone, then, like, I would tell them I was being on this. But, like, I'm not seeing anybody right now, so. Yeah.
Okay, so then that profile.
Whatever.
Ladies. Or whatever. So you're just, like, you've gone back to your regular method of meeting people.
Yes, yeah.
But if you go on that cruise, you're going to be gone anyway.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Well, maybe.
Well, I mean, there's no cruise. I mean, I don't know if I'm going on the cruise. This is just something I'm, like, auditioning for, like, figuring out. Like,
I've
this isn't,
decided that you're going. I'm telling everyone that you're going.
Tell them whatever you want.
Don't you think, like, thinking about a cruise right now seems sort of ironic? Like, I was going to say something about Greece, but then I started thinking, you know, talking about going on a cruise right now seems so, like, wrong. Just the concept of a cruise when all those people are dying from Syria on boats. Like, doesn't there just seem something so morally wrong about it?
I mean, I hadn't thought of that because I guess that's like a boat connection because it's both boats. But yeah. I mean, but isn't there a way, like, anytime, you know, if you go to the bar and have a couple of drinks with your friend, it's like, but people are dying in Africa. But this is, you know, but like, yeah, but this is what the world is like.
Okay,
so
I was thinking Greek cruise, right? That was the first thing that came to my mind, right? Yeah. So I was thinking, okay, because that just seems like a likely place to go on a cruise, Greek islands. I want to go. Right. So you're on a cruise on the Greek islands, and then are you going to see like all these, like you're on this boat plane? This is so not funny. So you're on this boat, like with this in your tuxedo with this band, and everybody's like dancing and drinking and all this fancy stuff. And then around when you look down in the water, there's these like inflatable rafts with like hordes of children starving and screaming.
God. The world is such a sad place. It's so fucked up.
That's not funny, but it makes me anxious.
Yeah. No, I mean, I mean, a lot of cruises, like, out of New York, like, go down to, like, what? To, like, the Caribbean, like, all those islands, and, like, you know, there's, like, fucked shit down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess some people would say, like, oh, but, like, it's tourism, so it's bringing in money, but, like, you know how much are you actually helping those people, and, like, where is the money going to, and then, like, you know, you're trading on, like, the fact that, you know, you know, in certain places, like, it's so bad that you can, like, pay very little money to people, relatively speaking.
Right.
You know,
like it's, China and get set made.
China, yeah, you know, or, like, like, I'm, like, really kind of fascinated by North Korea. I think that's a thing, like, there's, like, a certain type of person that's, like, fascinated by that. Or, like, I see people write about it, and it's, like, you can go on a trip to North Korea, and it's, like, okay, but if you're doing that in a way, like, you're supporting this, like, really horrific regime.
Right.
And you're also... So is that tantamount to supporting it? I mean, like philosophically supporting it. But then people might argue, like, well, but by being exposed to like Westerners, these people are going to like learn about this and that.
Or
but like they're still all being stuck in these like prison camps.
But
you know,
can
I don't
also
know.
Bring back information to other people and create awareness. It just depends, you know.
No one
can solve all this shit. Not even Donald Trump. So you just do the best you can. That's how I've rationalized it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as long as what you're doing like comes from a good place, and then if things go bad, then like you can say like, well, that didn't work out. And
yeah, I mean, there's so much horrible shit. I mean, I do the best I can. I try to, you know, make the people that I come in contact with, try to be okay with that. Try to be okay to them.
Yeah.
So that's my goal is just to get through the day without really upsetting or getting anybody like really disappointed and angry at me. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So speaking of me, so back to me. So you know what? I've had two people come on here and I want to know what you think.
Mm.
So I've had two artists, Matthew Weinstein, and David Kramer. I can't believe I'm talking about this again because I was talking about it last week.
Yeah.
But they criticized me, so now I'm obsessed with it. So I want to know what you think.
I know David Kramer.
Yeah. So they said that I was too easy on them. That as an interviewer, that I wasn't aggressive and I wasn't enough like myself, and I threw them too many softballs.
Interesting. I mean, no, but like, shouldn't you be that? But you're not like interviewing like political candidates. Like, it's not like you have to like. It's not like because like you're not trying. If you have a politician on, they're trying to only present like a certain version of themselves. And I would imagine as an interviewer, your job is to like get past that version that they're presenting and find out the things that they maybe don't want you to know or don't want, or like the part of them that they don't want to expose.
Right.
Which is how you might have to do that with somebody like that. But, like, in this setting, if you're aggressive, I feel like it might cause someone to, like, clam up, you know.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But I think you're onto something because I was thinking about this over the weekend because, you know, I hate being criticized because, my self-esteem is so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you probably already knew that about me, right? You could tell that, right?
Well, you say it a lot, so I don't know. You seem confident enough to me.
That's right.
I'm aware of your lack of self-confidence because only through your expression of it in speech. I'm not. It doesn't come across in your demeanor.
Well, that's because I don't feel like I don't feel threatened by you at all.
Ah.
So no. These two guys, I was thinking about, they both have artists, and maybe like David, I don't. Maybe they have egos that make me uncomfortable. And so I think that maybe they would be, we were both a little uncomfortable, and maybe what they wanted was for me to be like, you know how some people are like that? These are the people that I always have the hard time with. The people that want you to be kind of mean to them. There's a lot of guys like that with big egos where that you want them to say, like, I've done this, like, where with somebody once, this one guy I got comfortable enough with, and I said, I don't have to take that shit off of you.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Interesting. See, yeah, that's definitely a type of person, and like I've met and known people like that. That I don't like that though, because like somebody's like, I have to take that shit from you. I'm just like, what shit? Like, I'll just leave. Like, I'd rather have like a kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I think I'm the kind of person that when people first meet me, they're like, oh, like, he's shy or, like, he doesn't talk a lot. But it's like, but if I'm comfortable with you, like, I have a lot to say. Like,
right.
I need to have a dialogue.
Right.
I don't want to have some adversarial thing. That's just like.
Right.
Because if somebody wants, you know, if somebody, like, wants you to be, like, adversarial with them, it's kind of like, it's making it all about them. It's like, I want you to fight me so I can show you that I can beat you. And it's like, fuck that shit.
Oh, yeah. See, that's really helpful to put it that way. That makes a lot of sense because that's what I think is going on. I think that, so you know what I think I'm going to do? This was my idea. I had this over the weekend when I was high. So I was thinking, you know what I'm going to do the next time somebody like that comes on here?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not like that. That's why we get along.
Right.
I'm going to say to them, okay, I'm going to go in. I think you have a big ego, and I'm going to go into my mean Dr. Lisa mode so that I can manage this interview with you.
Right.
And then just totally give myself free rein to not be the way I would normally be.
Right. Well, it's a performance. So I mean, you know.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, everything.
Yeah, it's a performance.
Anything that's, I mean, like, at first, well. I mean, everything's a performance if you really, but not really, but I don't know. It's,
yeah, especially peeing.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot. Yeah.
When I'm urinating, who am I performing for? I guess God, right? He's like.
It's all part,
or she,
of, it's part of the bigger picture. You know, it's kind of in preparation for something else, right? If there's no one there, are you performing? If you're alone, like a tree falls in the wood, if you're not, no one's around, then are you still performing?
Right, but let me say this about that, which is that, you know, do you ever do the thing where I find a lot of times when I'm, like, talking to myself and, like, thinking things through, is that in my head I'm imagining that I'm talking to someone I know. And it's usually, it's like a small set of people, yeah. And it's like, it's not even that I'm going to, like, talk to these people in real life about this. It's just that I sometimes, like, imagine that I'm talking to, like, you know, this person or that person. So in a way, I mean, like, is that performing, though? But because also I think, like, you know, different people that you meet and that you're around bring out different elements of you, which is probably, like, why you want to be around them. So,
I don't know. That's a big super ego thing, too. Yeah.
See, these are the questions that, like, I see the things that I think about and, like, the thoughts, like, are, like, jumping around in my head. But then when I go to speak them, and not just in this format, like, anytime, even with people, all of a sudden, like, having to verbalize stuff, I'm like, oh, shit, like, I kind of have all these thoughts, and I kind of feel stuff about them, but it's hard to, like, put it together in a, like, okay, like, here's, like, a way where, like, an essay where it's, like, okay, like, here's idea A, which goes to idea B, goes to idea C. I'm just, like, it's all these ideas, and they're kind of, like, falling on each other, and I don't know.
Yeah, so you don't really answer questions with short answers.
No. I mean, I could, you know.
You just did.
You can either get, like, one word.
See, you just did it. No. Well, I could, but not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like, people give you short answers to, like, questions like this. Like, to me, it just demonstrates the fact that they're, like, not very, you know, inward-looking or, like, thoughtful. Okay. I mean, if you're, like, introspective, right? Which is okay. It's the kind of thing, like, again, like, people who aren't introspective, that's totally cool. You don't need to be. But, like, that's not the kind of people that, like, I hang out with. But, like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm, like, you know, putting people down. But
No, you don't.
I don't know. Sometimes when I start talking, I'm just like, man, I sound like such a fucking asshole.
Okay, so here's a t-shirt I'm going to make for you that says, I don't want to sound like I'm putting people down. I think that's it. I think we should do that. Would you wear that? I'm going to make that for you. I would totally wear that.
Yeah,
okay, I'm going to make you that shirt for the cruise. For the cruise to Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one more time. We got like 70 seconds. So I want to tell everybody to go see you perform on Saturday night, right?
It's Saturday night, and it's 9 p.m. at the Gutter.
Which Gutter?
It's a bowling alley. It's on like North 14th or something, across from like McCarran Park or like around there. And that the Knitting Factory, which is on Metropolitan in Brooklyn at like 11:30 or midnight.
The Knitting Factory is at midnight. What time are you going to get home on Halloween?
On Halloween, who the fuck knows?
Like 4 a.m.?
Yeah, probably.
The last time I saw you was in the daytime, and I think...
Running into you and Phil on the street, and it's always when I'm either hungover or like coming from someplace that's like not my home, or I'm just like wandering.